Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, August 27th, 2016. This is episode 1317. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter the promo code TECHGUY for 30% off your entire order. And by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/techguy. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you fresh, high-quality ingredients to cook delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones, smart watches. You know what I'm talking about. Tech, anything with a chip in it. My phone number, 8888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. If you're reaching us from outside those areas, you can use Skype to call to. 8888-ASK-LEO. Well, did you have a good tech week? Did everything, what does it mean, a good tech week? Everything worked for you, right? You didn't have any blue screens of death. You didn't have any, I hate that name because it sounds so fatal. It's not. Microsoft's updated the blue screen of death now. It's just, it's a light blue. And it's not death, exactly. It's reboot. The blue screen of reboot. Didn't they get rid of that for a while? It feels like Windows didn't have a blue screen, didn't crash on you. That's the big crash on Windows. Didn't seem like it. Seemed like that was good for a while. Like, I never saw that. And then all of a sudden with Windows 10, and now especially with the update to Windows 10, the anniversary update, I see that a lot. A lot. Like, every day now. Is that an improvement? I don't know. It is the blue screen of reboot. It does it automatically for you now. So that's an improvement. It does mean that whatever you're doing, it's done. It's over. It's shot. Boom. Bang. Wow. But software's hard. Software's hard. For instance, the iPhone. Now, I know a lot of you iOS users, and I use iOS. I have iOS. I use an iPad, and I use an iPhone. Not my daily driver anymore. I stopped using my iPhone every day for the last few years. But I still use it. I like it. I'm updating it today. You should, too. Oh, man, should you? Whoops. Three, not one, not two, but three previously unknown, what they call zero-day flaws. Zero-day means the flaw is in the wild and operational today, now. So that's why you might want to update that right now. In fact, we know that it's been used by the federal government or somebody. It was so... This is the story of this malware is interesting. It's been around for years. According to Lookout, you see, there's an unfortunate collision here between the companies that protect us from malware, like Lookout and Symantec and Kaspersky, all the antivirus companies. They're the ones who do all the research, and they're the ones who discover these and announce them. And, of course, it's in their interest that they announce them in the most dramatic way because they want you to buy the product. So it's a tricky nexus here. But I'll just say it. From Lookout comes the word. This is the most sophisticated bad actor we've ever seen targeting mobile phones out in the wild. And even if you take that with a grain of salt, it's frankly somewhat true. The malware, which researchers said came from an Israeli company, private company called the NSO Group. It was bought by a U.S. company in 2014, and it has been used already to target journalists and activists. Apple is patching it with 9.3.5. If you see that on your iPhone or your iPad, you might want to run that pretty quickly. It makes it fairly easy to attack an iPhone. For instance, a pro-democracy activist in the United Arab Emirates, Ahmed Mansour, got two text messages promising secrets about prisoners tortured in the UAE jails. He was immediately suspicious because he'd been jailed for his activism and targeted with commercial malware and past incidents. So he was suspicious, as we should all be. I'm a regular target for the authorities here. This is from the Washington Post. Every time they get new spyware, they seem to try it out on me. That's nice. Hey, let's try it out on Mansour. See if it works. So he didn't click the links in the messages. He sent them instead to security researchers. And yes, had he clicked the links in the email, attackers would have been able to take over his phone. So now, he was smart enough not to. I hope you are smart enough to be careful when you get messages like that. I've gotten messages like that. Usually they try to get me to log in, fake logins to Apple's website and stuff like that. But that's a little scary. Researchers also were able to track a network of sites hosting this new unrevealed malware. Some that used web addresses designed to trick users into thinking they're legitimate sites. That's the stuff that bites me. In fact, I have received texts saying, "We found your lost iPhone." And it was credible only because my son had lost his iPhone a couple of days before. Clicked the link, but then said, "Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, hold on there." There's another case of this same malware being used against a journalist in Mexico. He'd covered a corruption scandal involving the country's president. He got similar text messages with links. The links looked like they came from a Mexican news outlet. They did not. The targeting occurred on August 10th and 11th. That's when Mansour got those texts. Apple has pushed out a fix as of this week. They said, we figured it out within 10 days. But that means there's 10 days that you're vulnerable. And a few more while it takes the time to get the patch out there. So for a couple of weeks, you and I and everyone else has been vulnerable to this. That's the way it is. I almost prefer a blue screen of death, frankly. But this is the important thing to kind of remember for all of us. Software is hard. Software is really hard. Doing it right is difficult. All software has flaws. All software has flaws. And some of those flaws allow bad guys to get into your stuff, take over your phone, take over your desktop, snoop on you, spy on you. And this is just going to keep happening. So that's why I tell you and everybody tells you, update. It's unfortunate that Microsoft, in its most recent update for Windows 10, the anniversary update they call it, broke so many systems. That's kind of counterproductive because then people go, "I don't know, I don't want to update. Do I want to update? I'm worried about that." It seems like that's a dangerous thing to do. Might break my system. I have an HTC Vive, one of those virtual reality headsets. And installed the anniversary update, and I haven't been able to use it ever since because it blue screens every time I try to run the software. Every time. Blue screen. That's nice. It's not bad. It's a light blue, and it's got a smiley face on it. That's nice. Smiley face. It no longer does the really inexplicable stuff. It still gives me an error message I can't do anything about, and then reboots the machine. I don't know which is worse. And the thing is, companies, you got to be careful because if you're pushing out updates that break people's computers, then they will quite reasonably think twice about doing updates. And then they will, unfortunately, be vulnerable. It also raises the issue of companies that know about these things, holding on to the flaws, selling them to governments. We know that the FBI offered $1 million for flaws in iPhones that would allow them to hack in. The problem is, you know, I guess it would be fine, I guess. I mean, maybe it would be fine. Depends what country you live in. If only the government knew. But this stuff never stays quiet for long. If there's a flaw and one company has found it, sells it to the FBI, doesn't mean other companies won't find it. They have their hackers too, maybe even other governments. And it will get out there. And this one's out there. It's on websites all over the place, not just governmental. Governments, Chris Segoyan, who I really admire, he works for the ACLU as a security expert. Government use of malware, he says, and stockpiling of vulnerabilities imposes a cost on the rest of the society. That's right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to start with something so depressing. Update your software. And if you get blue screens, well, just thank your lucky stars you're not getting spied on or something. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, Leo Laporte. The tech guy. 8888, ask Leo, the phone number. The phone ranger, Heather Hammon, is here. Hello, Heather Hammon. Hammona, Hammona, Hammona. She's answering the phones. How do you like your new office? It's kind of empty and distant from me, isn't it? We put her in a room all by herself.
I'm not used to having a window behind me and a brick wall. But I do like it. Everything's new and it smells like fresh
paint. All shiny in our new studio. Yeah. Didn't somebody once said that the Queen of England, to the Queen of England, the whole world smells like fresh paint. Right? Everywhere she goes, just been repainted because the Queen's coming to town. So think of yourself as the Queen of England.
And floor wax and other things.
Yes. And everybody's bathed. In the Queen of England's world, people don't have BO.
Things must be sterilized.
Yes. It's a good life.
I like it.
Yeah.
She's not going to get Zika.
No. No mosquitoes in the Queen's world. And you're the Queen today. You're
okay,
the Queen.
Queen for a day.
Queen for a day. So we have been, you have been, we, the royal we have been lining up phone calls all day, preparing for this very moment on the show, and we will answer the question from one of you commoners. Which line should
I even got Ron in Fallbrook to gargle for you.
Did he repaint his room? I hope so.
You don't want to have bad breath on the radio.
I hope so. So I should start with Mr. Ron in Fallbrook then. Hello, Ron. It is us.
Yes.
Welcome.
I have an iPhone, and I know they're coming out with their 7 next month soon.
Yeah, like next month, like in a week. A week from Wednesday, I think.
Was it Wednesday? Okay. But I haven't been totally happy with the way they handled my material. I'm kind of an older person. And I like to look at the pictures and stuff that, the kids when they were small and things.
Yeah.
Like something with a large memory. And I'm wondering what phone you use and why you use it, and what might be a good phone for me to get. I have the 7 option, but you know much about the new phone. Apple.
Well, no one knows for sure because Apple doesn't pre-announce. So everything we know, we learn from rumors, which sometimes are right, sometimes wrong. Most of the time, by this time, they're pretty accurate because the rumors come out of China where the phone is already in mass production, right? In order for Apple to ship it by the end of... They're going to ship it within a month, so that means they've already started cranking them out. So we know, for instance, it'll have a better camera. It will look very much like the one you have. You have a current iPhone?
I have a 4.
Oh, golly. Okay, so you should go into the store at least and look at the current iPhone 6S Plus.
I've seen it, but I didn't like it as well.
It's a big screen. I mean, you wanted a big screen. It's a big screen. Yeah. However, I think Apple is a little bit behind in terms of technology and design. I know that's strange to say, but I do believe they are because they don't change it as fast as others. There's a few things about the iPhone 7 that worry me a lot. One is there won't be a headphone jack anymore. I don't know if that concerns you or not.
Yeah, well, it could be. Yeah.
I use my headphones all the time to listen to music and to make phone calls, so losing that's significant. They do not have the best screens. You said you want to see those kids and grandkids' pictures. Right now I'm using a Galaxy Note 7. That's the Samsung phone. It has a bigger screen, but oddly, it's a smaller phone than the iPhone 6S Plus, even though it has a bigger, better quality screen. And that's because it has no side. There's no, we call them the bezels, you know, the stuff around the screen. They're very small. On the iPhone, they're very big. And so Samsung has managed to create a phone that has more screen space but is a smaller phone. It's also using a newer screen technology than Apple uses. Apple has LCD screens. Samsung uses something called Super AMOLED screens. And Super AMOLED screens are really bright and crisp, and the color is just pops at you. I think they're beautiful, beautiful screens. So I think if you're looking for the best screen, but I should tell you, Android is a very different world. You know, you're used to how the iPhone works. The Android phones are going to, you know, it's kind of like going from a Windows PC to a Mac. You know, it's a different way of doing things. Now, I prefer it because I'm a geek, and I think geeks like to be able to customize and modify. But I don't know, you know, most normal people just want to use the darn thing. Right.
What about memory?
Well, this also beats the iPhone in memory. Now, it's as expensive as an iPhone, and there are even less expensive choices. So I'm talking about an $850 phone. It comes with 64 gigabytes, but Apple has never allowed you to use an SD card, an extension memory. Samsung does. So I put a 200 gigabyte SD card in here. All my pictures are on there. So I have 200 gigabytes picture storage. That's completely separate from the applications and the stuff the phone's doing. So I have ample space for pictures, music, videos. I listen to a lot of audiobooks. I have 30 audiobooks on here. That's 30 gigabytes of audiobooks on here. That's a lot, and I wouldn't do it on a 64 gig phone. Apple does sell phones now. Your phone, iPhone 4 is very old. The newer iPhones have much more storage. For instance, they go up to 128 gigabytes now. They might even go to more next this coming iteration. So it's really tough for me to tell somebody stop using an iPhone only because it's going to be a little bit of a discombobulation for you. It's going to be so different from what you're used to. I personally prefer Android phones. There are less expensive Android phones, some very good ones for $400. Including the three that I recommend, the OnePlus 3. Those do not have unlimited memory, but they do have SD card support, which is nice. Again, you could add to your heart's content. And SD cards are cheap. Cost you $40 for an additional 128 gigs. That's great. That's plenty of space for your kids.
The Samsung Galaxy is what you're using.
Yeah, this is kind of the top of the line, though. And yes, I love it. The Galaxy Note 7. It just came out.
Came
out, and if you go to your carrier store, they'll have it. Who's your phone company?
AT&T.
Go to the AT&T store and ask them to look at this, the Note 7, and the Galaxy S7, which is a smaller phone, but still great screen. And see, because you might not want to. This is such a jump from the iPhone 4 in terms of size. You might go, wow, it's too big. The only reason to pay extra for the Galaxy Note 7 is it has a stylus, so you can write and draw on the screen. It's like a little notepad. And that, for me, is a compelling reason to buy this phone. But maybe if you don't ever use it, it's not a good choice, you know.
Do you think that's with my, like, for instance, Apple, I had... like when my kids were small, they would sing in church and stuff like that, and I had those on my phone.
You can do all of the same things because basically every company copies Apple, and Apple copies them, and there's cross-pollinization. So anything one phone can do, the other can do too. Has very, very good video. Best camera out there, certainly as good as the current iPhone, much better than your iPhone 4. In every respect, it would be an upgrade. I would go to the AT&T store and just look at it and see how you feel. It is expensive. That's the drawback. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yes, it's Leo-proof. I can't stick the stylus in upside down anymore. Do get a case. If you get the Galaxy Note 5, 7, get a case. Because this thing is, so there are a couple of things that Samsung did on this that are kind of interesting. They decided to go with Gorilla Glass 5, which is less is more, you know, less likely to shatter. But, you know, with glass, it's always a trade-off between hardness and shatterproof, right? For instance, plastic doesn't shatter, but it's soft and scratches easily. So this Gorilla Glass 5 is a compromise. It's less likely to shatter, but it scratches much more easily. So you really don't want to put this in your pocket with a, you know, a keys or anything. And I've already crazed kind of the back of it. I don't know if you'll be able to see this on camera, but there are little tiny unbuffable scratches. Maybe even that's a crack. That might even be a crack on the back of it. There you go. You can kind of see that there. This got damaged in 5 days, and I never dropped it. It was just in my pocket. Not with keys even. This is a good case. This is a cheap, it's RINGKE. It's a plastic case. You know, it's funny because the Axon that I just bought, which I really like from ZTE, the $400 Axon, comes with a little plastic case like this. This costs 50, maybe 12 cents to make. Samsung should really bundle this in if they're going to make a phone that's that vulnerable. Anyway. Bump de bump. Hump de hump. Leo Laporte. The tech guy. I don't know why I said that. I should introduce you. Scott Wilkinson, the home theater guru. He's here. And it's time for our home theater segment. Scott is the editor-in-chief of the AVS Forum at avsforum.com and does a lot of great stuff there. That site has really turned around under your guidance.
You.
It's become a wonderful magazine of audio and video.
That's what we're striving for.
Really good stuff. In fact, when I was looking for 4K and UHD DVDs to buy, I immediately went to avsforum.com to look for reviews, and you do that as well.
Oh, so yeah.
It's a really, really great place to go. If you're interested in all of this information, including Scott's podcast, by the way, which is available there. It's the Home Theater Geeks podcast, HTG. Anyway, I see you have your last episode was getting Technicolor on high dynamic range TVs. What do you think now? I know you're big on high dynamic range in the theater. You still like them on TVs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Say yes, I bought one.
No, there's no question. HDR, high dynamic range, is really, really good on TVs, as you know, really important there as it is in the commercial cinema as well. The problem is that the high dynamic range ecosystem, shall we call it, around TVs and Ultra HD Blu-ray and streaming and so on, is all still very up in the air. It's all so new that the way to deal with it as a calibrator, for example, is still not clear. For example, I'm coming up to Petaluma while you're on vacation, unfortunately. Usually how I get there is when you're not there. But I have the privilege of being able to calibrate your new LG OLED, which I'm really looking forward to.
Which you convinced me to buy.
I did. And now I'm going to go calibrate it for
Yay.
You.
No, that's fabulous. I love it already, but it's funny because I'm pretty sure when I was watching it for about a week before realizing I hadn't turned HDR on. It's not even on by default.
Yeah, I had no idea there was such a thing. I thought it was just automatic.
Well,
and
I may be wrong, because I'll tell you what. It is not clear when you're reading through the menus what anything is. Nobody just says HDR. Nobody just says 4K. No, mm-hmm. I mean, they all have fancy trademarked brand names for the various
settings. I know, and I hate that.
Settings.
I really hate that.
So that's why one reason to get a pro in there is just because he knows what that stuff means. The other reason is you're going to use machinery to do this, right?
Yes.
Not just your eyeballs.
No. I'm bringing up meters, colorimeters, or actually spectroradiometers. Which will detect exactly what the colors are, what the white is. I'll be able to tell the peak brightness that you can achieve and the darkest you can achieve, which in the case of OLED is essentially zero. I mean, it's true black,
nice.
Which is you know, really amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are in such early stages of HDR. There are these controls. For example, in the Samsung HDR TVs 2016, there's a control that you turn on for HDR color, an expanded color gamut. And it's buried deep in the menus.
Yeah.
And if you don't know where it is,
yeah.
you know, you'll kind of look, you'll look at HDR and go, that doesn't look quite right.
It's kind of like that on the LG as well. Like,
yeah.
That's why I need a pro. You need a pro to come in. But it's, you know, I understand why people, especially now that TVs are less expensive, aren't anxious to spend the kind of money. It's hundreds of dollars to get a professional.
Hundreds of dollars for a professional to come in and calibrate it. That's right.
But you know, take 10% of the amount you spend on the TV and or less and devote it to getting the TV to sing. And I have to say, even just going in there, and it wasn't just going to cinema. There were other things, and somebody sent me their settings.
Great.
Our friend who has one as well in his, you know, I've forgotten his name, but Scruffy, he calls himself on the email. And I used his just to see. And it was much better. So it really does, it doesn't come out of the box in any way
taking
advantage of its abilities.
No, that is exactly correct.
Why don't they calibrate TVs like the factory?
Because they have to put them on they ship them to stores, to like a Best Buy or whatever. And Best Buy is going to take one of them, they don't know which one, out of the box and put it on the show floor. And in order to compete with all of the other TVs that are right next to it on the show floor, the one that they just take out of the box has to be as bright as it can be, and it has to be as blue as it can be. Because being brighter and being bluer naturally attracts the human eye to it.
Huh.
And so you go, oh, that looks really great.
Well, I could have a show remote and turn it off. And still,
that's true.
So is,
that's true.
So why don't they just have a calibrated?
Well, because they don't. The factory does not know the environment in which the TV will be used.
So you're calibrating for the room as well.
You are. You have to. For example, if you're watching in a blacked out room, then you would calibrate it differently than if you would if you were typically watching in a bright room.
That makes
That's
sense.
Why there are two. There are actually two calibration modes in most high-end TVs, which are labeled ISF, Imaging Science Foundation. It's an organization that sort of makes sure that things are calibrated and the way they should be. And there's usually an ISF night mode and an ISF day mode, so that you can put in two different calibrations, one for watching at night, basically with the lights out in the dark, and one for watching during the day when the lights are on.
Yeah, this comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And by the way, somebody's reminding me, when I turned on the TV the first time, it says, is this going to be used in a showroom or in a home?
Exactly. Yes.
So
at least, the newer TVs do that.
At least it gives you the chance to say, no, don't do that big bright blue thing. That's no good.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But even then, it probably even in home mode, if you answered that question, which I'm sure you did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to be watching it at home.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't go into its store mode, which we sometimes call torch mode. It instead went into the home mode, but it's still
very
wasn't
bright.
Right.
It's still too bright, I think.
Exactly.
And I did put it in ISF dark mode.
Well, but that ISF dark mode was not calibrated.
But it's not calibrated.
It's the default, whatever the default was, and that's probably not ideal for that particular TV in that particular room.
Isn't this amazing, folks, how this has changed? It used to be you'd go, you'd buy a TV, you had two choices, color or black and white. And then you'd buy it and you'd turn it on, and nobody said, oh, it's got to warm up or it's got to be calibrated or any of that stuff.
Well, and the other complicating factor is in those days, it was all very well defined. It was standard dynamic range. It was a certain range of colors.
I mean, broadcast TV had such strong standards that you didn't have
to. You didn't really have to. I mean, it was better if you did, but it you could get by without it, and it's fine. Now with HDR and the specs and the standards are changing so much that you really do need an expert to come in and settle it out. And even with that, next year, 2 years from now, you might have to readjust it for something.
Yeah.
So we are in the wild, wild west of TV again, just like we were not even when we changed to color, because, again, it was well-defined.
Yeah.
It's not well-defined right now.
Yeah.
Each TV puts out a different range of colors and a different range of brightnesses, and you have to kind of take that into account.
I have to say, though, even if you just put it to cinema or movie mode and watch it, it looks a lot better. And 4K, I of all of this, part of the problem is that the television industry has come up with a number of gimmicks, notably 3D, which we didn't, really were just gimmicks. But I always thought 4K made a huge difference ever since I saw the first 4K display years ago at a trade show. And I have to say, having that in the house, because I sit close and I have a big screen.
Then it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. Scott Wilkinson, he's at twit.tv/HTG or read his writings at the AVS Forum, avsforum.com. Thank you, Scott.
Bet.
Four K is amazing, amazing, and we'll see what the UHD does. There's not a lot of UHD content. Where I've seen it, it's really good. It really does.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Now you have a Xbox S.
Yes. So
Xbox
I have a
One S.
So I have a, that's a UHD Blu-ray player.
And do you have any UHD Blu-ray?
I do.
Titles?
I have three of them. I have one that has a lot of blacks in it. It's an IMAX space movie.
Oh, that must look good.
And it looks fabulous because it has great dynamic range. The space is black. And the astronauts are popping white.
Yeah.
So it shows the incredible dynamic range. And then I have The Martian and I have Mad Max Fury Road. So those
also
three.
Very good.
Yeah. I figured those would be three, to demo the UHD.
Yep. You selected very well.
Well, there aren't that many choices. It was that or Smurfs 2. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I know.
There are more and more. And what's really annoying is they now charge, remember the Blu-ray and DVD now have gotten close in price. They charge triple the price for a UHD.
Triple, really? Oh, I haven't looked at
it. I mean, it's still not that expensive. $30 for The Martian or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Blu-rays used to be $30.
Right. It's what the old Blu-ray price was, but Blu-rays have now fallen.
Right.
And DVDs you can buy for pennies.
I know. Yeah. So you've got those in 4K. Have you done any streaming?
I have. Netflix has a few 4K stuff. Netflix is nice because you can search for UHD on Netflix, and it will find all its UHD content.
Oh, that's cool.
So Marco Polo, which was a series they shot recently, was in UHD, and it definitely is noticeably different. But I think calibration will make an even bigger difference.
I expect that's true.
Yeah,
The one thing you should be aware of is one of the aspects of the Wild West type of environment we're in is that different TVs offer you different calibration capabilities or limitations.
Right.
So there may very well be things that I can't do
I understand
on that TV.
Yeah. So you couldn't do much at all with my Samsung OLED.
That's right. I could calibrate it.
It was good out of the box.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
we'll see.
This has many, many more settings than the Samsung. These menus go deep. Deep, deep, deep.
Well,
are you going to bring that guy's remote with you?
Yeah, I am.
How fun.
I'm going to buy one.
I'll buy one.
You can. Yeah, yeah.
Is it on Amazon?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the LG. I don't know the exact name. I'll have to send you the.
It's like a service mode remote?
It's like a service remote. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, right. I see this. Hold on. Let me see if I have to find
LG,
one. Probably.
LG OLED service remote.
Probably have to buy one for the particular TV or no?
You might. So that would be. I'm looking it up myself too. LG.
Here's
OLED.
The one that looks most like my. It's an OEM authorized part, fits with various LG brand models. I wish they would list those.
I wish they would too. Okay.
Ha! Good God. Ha! Come on. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Don't you love him? 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Back to the phones we go with our next caller's Jay in Chicago. Hello, Jay.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. First of all, I just want to thank you so much for doing this show. I learned so much from it, and I really enjoy watching. I'm
thank
a huge
you.
Fan.
How old are you, Jay?
I am 12.
12.
I'm going into 7th grade.
That's the best age to start getting into all of this. That's awesome.
So I have a question about the Mac OS Sierra beta. I downloaded it. I backed up my device and it's actually on a laptop, a Mac laptop. And I don't know if you know the universal clipboard. You know, when you can copy something on the Mac and paste it on your phone.
I've seen it demoed. I haven't tried the new beta, so you're a little bit ahead of me. Anyway, what's going on?
So I am just wondering. So both of the devices are linked through iCloud. They've been linked through iCloud for a long time, like since I got it. And it just doesn't seem to be working. I was wondering if you know anything about that.
That's a good question. I love this idea. Isn't it great? I also see on a number of forums and Apple forums, universal clipboard not working.
What?
Yeah, so wait a minute, but there is a fix.
Okay.
Yeah. So within your Mac, you have to check that your iOS device is running with... Have you also taken the beta on your iOS device?
Yes, I do have the iOS 10 beta.
Okay, because that's required, obviously. I'm going to presume you're using an up-to-date iPad or iPhone for this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you have to be on the same Apple ID on the iCloud. You are, I presume, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Now, try restarting this. I'm looking through I'll put this this checklist that is on the web. I'll put this in our show notes at techguylabs.com so you can follow
all
along.
Right. Thank
the
you.
Next thing is try restarting and seeing. If back to my Mac, try that too and see if that works. This doesn't look like it's got more than that. So those are really kind of basic things to try. Have you restarted your phone or your iPad?
Yes, I've restarted both. Yeah. I restarted my phone and the computer.
So it is the good news is others are having this problem. The bad news is that doesn't sound like much of a fix, does it?
It's okay.
And this is one from June 18th in the Apple Developer Forums. Universal clipboard not yet working. Some says it works and some say it don't. So it doesn't. So try copying something in Safari and then pasting it in Notes and see if that works.
Yeah, okay. Well, because my friend said he's on the beta on both of his devices and he said it works. So maybe.
Yeah.
You know,
are you on the same Wi-Fi network for both? Try that, too. You know, it should, in theory, work because it goes through iCloud, but it sounds like a lot of these people are on the same Wi-Fi network for both their phone and their desktop. So that would check. Now, here's a guy, Crazy Psychiatrist, on the developer forum, says, mine only works when Bluetooth is on.
Oh, maybe that might be
the
issue.
Make sure Bluetooth's on.
I do have Bluetooth on my phone. It's on.
Yeah, normally you wouldn't have it turned on a Mac. So try turning it on a Mac.
So, yeah, okay.
So, by the way, you are using beta software. So some features don't work. It's not unusual. And then it's not also super well documented as to, you know, oh, it needs Bluetooth. Who knew that, right? That's hidden somewhere in the developer's notes. Oh, it's using Bluetooth to communicate. I don't know if that makes sense because that means you have to be in range of one another. And that seems like it would be less useful than, I guess, you'd be sitting at your computer. I don't know. We're going to see both soon. I think we'll see iOS 10 in the next couple of weeks. At the same time as we see a release of the new iPhone. And I suspect we'll see Sierra maybe in October. I used to do this. I used to put the betas on. I did do the beta of iOS 10, but I didn't do the beta on my desktop Macs because I didn't want to go through these problems. But you're young. You know what happens when you get old? I'm just starting to realize this. Older than you, you're only 12, is you get less and less energy for figuring out what's wrong and making it work. There's stuff I spent my whole weekend. My weekends are Thursday and Friday because I'm working on Saturday and Sunday doing the radio show. I spent the whole weekend messing with two different setups, two different computer systems that were not working properly. It was a waste of 2 days. And I think as you get older, you get less interested in doing that. I remember when I was younger, I'd bang on something until I fixed it. At this point, I'm ready to go throw up my hands. I think as you get older, you just want stuff to work.
Yeah.
Life is short. You still think you have a forever. And I'm not going to disabuse you of that notion. That's fine. You do have forever. Enjoy. Keep messing on stuff. If it weren't for young people We probably wouldn't have anything exciting or interesting going on. So keep up the good work. I'm really thrilled to talk to you, Jay. What do you think you want to do when you get out of college?
I do want to be something, you know, maybe in the tech industry, maybe be a software engineer for, you know, Google or something. I mean, that's my dream job, but I don't know exactly right now.
I had that feeling. Good for you. Keep up the good work, Jay. Stay in touch, okay?
All right. Thank you so much, Leo.
You're welcome. Yeah, turn on the Bluetooth. See if that helps. This is the problem with technology. You know, maybe it's true also. You know, I know wonderful shade tree mechanics who will work on a car until it sings, until it purrs, right? That's their hobby. They love doing that. And technology is kind of like that, except that it's a car with 8 million dials and buttons and knobs and switches. It's kind of almost an infinite possibility. And you have to have the patience, I think, just to try all sorts of things and see what works. I'm losing my patience. I don't know. Jay is on the line from Providence, Rhode Island?
Providence, North Carolina.
North Carolina. All right. Hi, Jay.
Hey, I was just going to see if you would care to venture a guess as to how many years more that the iPhone 5 will be supported by iOS updates.
Ah, that's a good question. I think the 5 will be supported for a long time, and I'll tell you why. The 5 is the same as the SE, which Apple just started selling, and is selling like hotcakes. So that reset the clock on the 5. Anything that works, any update that works on the iPhone SE will work on the 5. So you, in effect, got a reset, and I would say you've got at least 4 or 5 years.
That's great news. I'm looking for something which isn't too drawn out, too complex or expensive.
Yeah. Well, look at the SE, because that's basically an iPhone 5. And that, by the way, in Apple's last quarterly results, the iPhone sales were down, except for the SE. They said the SE saved us. The SE was a huge, hot seller. That's good news. That means that phone will be supported. It's as if it's a brand new phone. It'll be supported for some time to come because millions, tens of millions of people are using it now. That's a good choice, I think. It's $100 less. I wish it were even less, but it's $100 less than the comparable iPhone. And it's a very nice phone. It's not a huge one, but it's a little bigger than the 4. It's the 5, essentially. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. Five is different. It's different because they reset the schedule, basically. So the question really is, when will the 5SE be reset? Although, it is a slower, faster processor than the SE. Yeah, I think the 5 will last longer. So anything we say is a guess, right? Oh, I forgot about you, Scott Wilkinson. Shoot. I am a bad man.
Nah, no problem.
So sorry. I gotta remember.
You're so jammed up with the new studio.
But that's terrible. All right, all yours, my friend.
Thank you so much. Rusty Bones asked, would you pull the trigger on a UHD Blu-ray player now or wait? It's a good question. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about it. Being the video tech geek that I am, I would buy one. They're all in the $400 range at this point, the Philips, the Samsung, and the Xbox One S. If you're a gamer, you know, then probably the Xbox One S is the way to go. I don't think the Philips does Dolby Vision. Of course, there are no Dolby Vision discs yet. So that's, there's sort of, why have a Dolby Vision capable player if you don't have any discs? We don't know if there are going to be any discs. I tend to think there probably will be, but I'm not 100% sure. It's a tough one. If you've got the money to spend and you're a geek like me and you've got a 4K HDR TV, then yeah, I probably would. If you don't have that kind of TV yet, then absolutely there's no reason to buy one now. Somebody asked me a question earlier about whether or not the capabilities of TVs or when will video exceed the capabilities of human vision? And the answer is it kind of already has. 4K is plenty of resolution for your eye at a normal seating distance away from a normal screen, normal size screen. So, you know, there's no reason to go any farther there. However, I'm just about to post a story a little bit later today on AVS about how Japan is forming a consortium of NHK, the public broadcaster, Sony and Panasonic, to develop 8K. And NHK is going to be broadcasting 8K by 2018, they say. They're going to do the 2020 Tokyo Olympics in 8K. And I'm just going, what? There's no need for that. There's no way you're going to be able to see that additional detail at any kind of normal seating distance. I put it this way in the article, too. I'm giving you a little preview here. For HD, normal HD, you have a 70-inch screen. The ideal seating distance is about 10 feet. 4K UHD, the optimum seating distance, which is defined as seeing the most detail without actually seeing the pixels, is 5 feet. For 8K, it's 2.5 feet. You know, who among you is going to sit 2.5 feet from a 70-inch display?
It's me.
That's what you need to do in order to see all the detail of 8K.
You'll see in mine. I'm 8K. You won't notice the difference. So you see in mine though that I'm maybe 6 to 8 feet away from a 65-inch. It's just right. It fills your.
That's just right. Oh yeah. No, that sounds great. Yeah.
The only drawback's a little high. It's a little high because the Samsung. Oh, we gotta go.
Yeah.
We'll talk later. Thank you.
Later. Thank you.
Bye. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, all that jazz. 8888, ask Leo. That's the number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or in Canada. Outside that area, you can use Skype to reach us. 888-827-5536. The website, and I've mentioned this on, you know, last hour, and it's good to remember, the website is techguylabs.com, and we put everything I talk about in there. I mean, even and links and information. So all of that is there, techguylabs.com. So if you don't have to write it down as you're driving around, you could just say, oh, yeah, that's good. I'll remember to look at techguylabs.com when I get home because the link will be there. And also your comments, vastly appreciated. 8888-ASK-LEO. Bruce, Beaumont, California. Hi, Bruce. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I got a I switched over to the Android operating system for a phone from a Windows phone. I was a longtime Windows phone user. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But something's happening on my phone that never happened on my Windows phone. I keep getting these pop-ups that say an embedded page at s3.amazonaws.com says, congratulations, you won an iPhone or whatever. And I can't get...
Well, stop going to that website, because that's a website popping that sucker up.
I was just browsing MSN.
Yeah. So, that's interesting. So, S3 is Amazon's... It's basically a host, web host. It's a Amazon storage. And so the page is embedded there. But it's coming to you in your browser because you're surfing to a site that triggers it.
if you
don't see it when you don't have a browser running, right?
No. But I mean,
that would be cause for concern because that would mean there's something on your software on your system that's popping that up. So one way to do this is to close all, clear all, go into the Recents and just close them all and then open a browser and see if it happens again.
Okay.
Then you know it's coming from the browser and it's coming from the site you're going to. Notice what sites it goes to. I don't know. MSN, I'm not sure why they're popping that up. Safari on iOS may have blocked pop-ups, and that probably would be why you didn't see that. That's a very annoying kind of ad.
The settings. It is. I checked the settings on Google Chrome, and Google Chrome says, the pop-up block pop-ups on Google Chrome is set.
Oh.
So I'm not really sure. You know, it's kind of perplexing me. I went to the Android Central forum, and I've looked around, and everybody's saying, you know, this, that, and the other. There's a thousand opinions. But I can't get any consensus on what's causing it.
One thing to try, there's a browser that there is a ad-blocking browser called Ghostery. And I don't use it on a regular basis. I use Chrome for a variety of reasons. But it would be worth a try to use, just try browsing the same places in Ghostery. Ghostery not only will be a better, do a better job of blocking ads, and that's an ad, but it will also give you diagnostic information about where that's coming from. Just like Ghost, G-H-O-S-T-E-R-Y. Ghostery is a well-known Chrome plugin for the desktop that does the same thing. It lets you know what plugins there are on sites and stuff. I'm wondering, it is conceivable that you'd have adware on Android. I think there's a common, you know, kind of thread. People think that Android is more prone to this kind of thing. But as we've learned, iOS does also have similar issues. In fact, there was a pop-up bug on iOS that was fixed. It is hard. Which phone are you using?
I'm using a I'm running a, it's on the T-Mobile network. It's a LG G4.
Okay. LG does get the security updates. Make sure, though, that you apply those every month. There's a new update from Google. LG, Samsung, and Google's Nexus phones all get those automatically. It's usually, you know, the August update, for instance, it just came out. Like, it's about the middle of the month that the update comes out. The name is misleading. But I would check. You can even go into About This Phone and see if you have the August update. Those things are important. They do block that kind of stuff. Apple does a very good job of it because they can force updates on all phones automatically. Android isn't in that market position, unfortunately, and so Google can put the fixes out, but not all phones get them. LG is one of the companies, though, that has pledged to take those updates, so make sure you have, even check the updates. The thing is to figure out what's doing it. That something's popping up an ad, right? And
It says, you know, congratulations,
yeah,
T-Mobile user used and chosen, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, it says T-Mobile. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
But the form says, up in the URL, it says data.tech/HTML base64, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
I would go through your T-Mobile apps. Make sure you also disable any ads from T-Mobile.
Any ads?
Yeah. T-Mobile, you'll notice there's some T-Mobile software on there.
Sure.
And I would go through that software and make sure that you have in the settings, you know, when you first install it, it says, hey, you don't mind, occasional offers from T-Mobile, do you? Make sure those things are all turned off. I have not seen that. I use T-Mobile as well. I like T-Mobile.
But, I love my T-Mobile.
Yeah, but they're not above giving you some ads once in a while.
Cool. Hey, do I have time for one small question?
Yeah.
My son is going this way, and my other son's going that way, and my wife and I have decided to get him a phone, but knowing my son, he's going to drop it and throw it and all kinds of stuff. Do you have any good since you're a T-Mobile user, do you have any good recommendations for an Android phone?
A rugged Android phone.
Won't cry if it breaks.
Yeah, rugged Android phone. Yeah, I mean, you know, the problem with these glass slabs that we, the register calls them our fondle slabs, because we like to fondle them. The problem with these glass slabs is they're inherently vulnerable. So Samsung does make a more rugged phone that, you know, is designed to handle a little bit more trouble. They call them the Active line. So I would look at, I mean, they're not cheap. The Galaxy S7 Active, there are Actives in the older versions, but the Galaxy S7 Active is fairly tough. Nope, but understand that anything with a glass slab in the front of it is going to be somewhat vulnerable. It's like saying, what's the most rugged window? You know, I mean, but Galaxy,
My old T-Mobile phone, I dropped that thing a thousand times and it never cracked.
Was it a smartphone?
Yeah. It was a Windows Lumia.
Oh, the Lumia, 40.
Yeah. It had the Gorilla Glass 3 and it never broke.
There are some companies that make mil-spec rugged phones. They're really ugly, but they're designed to be, you know, and how old's your son?
14.
Yeah, he'll probably like a mil-spec phone. It'll look boss. Do kids still say that?
I don't know. You know, he gets one break, and then it's back to a flip phone.
Yeah, well, and you know what? I know I'm with you because my son has broken so many phones. So there are some mil-spec phones that are designed to be, like, used in the field by, you know, Navy SEALs. Caterpillar, the company that makes the, you know, the tractors, they make a rugged phone. It's actually probably more designed to be used by construction workers in the field than SEALs. But, you know, sandproof, drop-proof, it's basically built into a strong case. That's the other thing, is to get a phone, and this is what I made my kids do, but then have them get a really rugged case. And there's some very good, tough cases designed for that exact use. In fact, Abby's had hers now for 2 years without a crack. It's an OtterBox. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by The Tracker. Love The Tracker. Got some. You probably saw this on my desk. They have custom trackers now. What are these? Well, these are great. These are little quarter-sized devices. They weigh almost nothing because they're anodized aluminum that you attach to the stuff that you lose a lot, like your keys. That'd be the obvious, but you can attach it to your pet. In fact, Tracker makes, I love this, a water-resistant cover that makes this ideal for a pet. These are the Tracker Bravos, and they're awesome. They pair to your Android or your iPhone, and they let you, find your stuff, not just your keys, not just your pet, but your phone too, because it's a two-way tracker. So that's another great thing. If you lose your device, you just press the button on the tracker, and your device starts making a whole bunch of noise, even if it's silenced. You know what I love about this? They just added Amazon Echo skill that you could talk to the Echo, say, where's my phone? And the Echo will use the tracker to make your phone scream. I love that. Go to thetracker.com. It's a hard thing to find because it's thetracker.com. Although somebody told me they have ER as well. But anyway, go to thetracker.com and you're going to get a great deal. We have a very nice offer for you. 30% off your entire order. The other thing that's cool about the tracker is their crowd network. There are 1.5 million trackers in circulation, which means whenever somebody with tracker software on their phone goes by your keys or whatever, it'll notify you and say, hey, I just saw your keys. They also have the Tracker Atlas, which helps you find your device inside your house. Like if it fell down the couch, the cushion, you have an actual map of your home, a customizable map of your home. And these are the new LED, UV LED images they could put right on there, including look at your pet. 30% off your entire order. Custom laser engraving, custom UV image, Tracker Bravos, accessories at thetracker.com. But you've got to use the promo code TECHGUY. Love the Tracker. And I love it that they just added that Amazon Echo capability. It's so cool. The Tracker. I know. My Echo said something too when I said the word Echo. TheTracker.com. Promo code TECHGUY. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo. Gordon in Long Island. Hi, Gordon. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you today?
I'm very well.
Congratulations on your move to the East Side Studios. Your set looks great, but that shirt looks even better.
Thank you. And for all of you listening on the radio, yeah, I don't know how he knows. It's a magic. No, we have a video. We have a video stream. I can't imagine. You know, it's funny because when who was it that first started doing this? Was it Don Imus? Somebody. Howard Stern started streaming video of the radio show, and I thought, why would anybody want to watch a radio show? But, you know, it's fun. I try to make the backdrop interesting enough that you have something to look at.
We want to watch it here on Long Island because we have no radio alternatives here.
That's so true.
The only way to get to hear you live.
That's true. We got to get those stations in New York to start picking us up there.
Wake up, New York.
Wake up, New York.
On so many different levels.
That's where I was born. You know, you'd think I'd be in New York.
Well, I'm glad you're over there. Yeah. I'd rather come out your way right now.
Thank you. Yeah, is it a little hot in the Long Island area?
It's a gorgeous day today.
Good.
Blue clouds, blue sky, I should say. No clouds and no humidity.
Wonderful. What can I do? By the way, my middle name is Gordon, so we have much in common. What can I do for you, Gordon?
I know. We talked about that last time I called you.
I bring it up every time. I guess I'm a broken record here.
And I do remember your first name is Leo, too, not Leo.
Yeah, I said that by accident earlier. The only reason, you know, I'm not trying to hide it, but it's just a little weird. And I got tired of telling people Leo as in mayo. That was just insulting. So I just started using Leo on the air. It's a lot easier. Spelled the same anyway.
Rumor has it that's why you moved to the left coast and changed your name.
To hide my antecedents. I'm hiding out. I'm in the witness protection program.
I'm concerned on two security issues here today. Maybe you can help me out. Number one, I bought a Wi-Fi extender for my D-Link router. And it's a D-Link brand extender. And when I went to set it up, all it has is the easy push-button WPS setup.
Yeah.
To enroll the Wi-Fi extender. Is that going to give me a problem? You've always said not to enroll your
It's not using WPS as a problem. It's that WPS is designed so poorly that it's insecure. Use it and then go in the main router and disable it.
Okay, using the software to get into the router, IP address?
Yeah, there's a checkbox for WPS. WPS is a great convenience, and if that's the only way that – the reason they do that is because an extender doesn't really want any configuration. It just wants to know, I'm on the network? Good, I'm on the network. You know, I don't need to – all the configuration's in the base unit, so they make it easy. But, yes, WPS is very dangerous if you leave it on because a bad guy can easily use it to get your Wi-Fi password. So it eliminates your Wi-Fi security effectively. So
I can set it up with the WPS,
yes,
but then shut off.
Exactly. It's fine to use it and then just turn it. In fact, that's true of all routers. Turn it off after you're done. The only problem is some of the Linksys routers, I don't know about the D-Links, but some of the Linksys routers had a checkbox to disable WPS that did nothing. It just left it on. So, but I think your D-Link is fine. Just turn off WPS. It's not a huge issue. It basically means it's as if you're using an open Wi-Fi network. It's not even that, because it's a bad guy would have to know how to crack WPS. WPS is an example, and this comes from my security guru, Steve Gibson. It's an example of why people who aren't experts in security should not design security systems. They thought they were doing a working security system, and it turns out it was trivially easy to break, and they didn't know any better. And any security guru looking at it would have said, oh, well, you can't do that. But they did it. So anyway, just turn it off. Yeah. Use it. It's fine to use it. Safe to use it. Turn it off. Disable it once you've used it.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Nice to talk to you again, Gordon.
On to my next question, Leo, quickly.
Oh, yes, of course.
There's another important one for me, too. Lately, I have gotten since, I think, the beginning of July, about 26 messages coming from the Microsoft account team saying they've detected something unusual about my recent sign-in to my Microsoft account.
Uh-oh.
And they want me to confirm that it's me that's signing in. And when they give me the country or region it's coming from, all they do is give me the detail that it's in the United States. That's a big help.
Yeah. You know, everybody's doing this now. First of all, there is always the possibility that that is phishing email. And if it asks you to click a link and log into your Microsoft account, don't do that, obviously. Because that could be a phishing email that sends you a site that looks like Microsoft but isn't, and they're getting your password. So always be – and I know if you listen to the show, you're probably already very suspicious. Always be suspicious of that. Do not click links in email, basically, is the rule. Those are always risky.
Right.
However, Gmail does this now. A lot of – I get these emails frequently. Well, all it's saying is somebody's logging into Microsoft.com from a site, from a location that doesn't make sense given you just logged in 5 minutes ago from Long Island. But it could be your cell phone. If you use remote Wi-Fi, it could be you if you're traveling. I would always investigate these, look at the IP address and try to, does it give you an IP address at least?
It does.
Yeah. look at the IP address. You can actually just type that IP address into a Google search or do who is and find that IP address and find out what network it's coming from. Chances are it's going to be your cell phone carrier or a Wi-Fi network you've used, that kind of thing.
Okay, so it wouldn't identify the device that I'm using. It would simply identify the
network. Yeah, it doesn't. Well, it could. I mean, you might recognize the IP address. Thing is, if it's a device that's, you know, if it's your laptops in your house, it's not going to trigger that warning from Microsoft. That warning comes because it, for some reason, doesn't match your normal pattern of use. Usually it means it's geographically distant from where you are now.
Right.
But Sprint, for instance, a lot of times when you log on a Sprint phone, you're coming from Kansas City. And so that triggers that kind of warning. If you use Gmail and you go to the bottom of Gmail, they have a great link, which I think it's kind of hidden because it's way at the bottom, but it's so useful, that tells you all the IP addresses that have been used lately to log on to Gmail and their location or rough location. That's so useful because you can get the idea is we want to know if somebody's using your connection without your authorization. So there's a little...
Would that indicate just Gmail use? Because that's not my primary email.
Yeah, no. That, and Microsoft's doing the same thing is what I'm saying. But Gmail does it for Gmail users.
Gotcha.
But you're right. That's of limited use if you're not using Gmail, as in none. But it's handy because it tells you, like, well, you know, I'm looking at mine. It says there was browser was Chrome or was using an Android app called Inbox or was an authorized user. Some of these, here's a login from Virginia. But it was an application that I used Gmail or Google to authenticate. You also can use your Microsoft account to sign into other applications. So it might be an application that's based somewhere else that's using it. You see what I'm saying?
The only link within the body of the email says review recent activity.
Click that and then look in your browser bar. Make sure it's Microsoft.com. And it's fine to click it as long as it's not taking you to somewhere else. Bad guy site. And then that's where you want to look, because that'll tell you more. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, we changed the clock just so that you would know we're in a new place. It looks a little more different. There's a few things. For instance, Heather is now in a soundproof booth in the main studio. Poor Heather. Johnny Jett. He is a traveling man, but he's going to be homebound because he's only got a little more than a month before a little jet arrives. And he's at a mommy class. You're such a good daddy to go to the mommy class with Natalie. That's
not
so
just
good.
A mommy class. I can't even tell you what it is, but it's
a breastfeeding class. You can say that. That's okay. That's great.
All right, I want to make sure, you know.
That's great. He's learning how to burp.
A five-hour breastfeeding class.
Well, there's a lot. You know what? It's hard, which I'll talk about this off the air. I've never done it. I've never done it, but I have been through it twice now with both my kids, and I can tell you a little bit about the challenge that your wife is about to go through.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
I have much respect for women.
I'm so proud of you. Yeah, we were both saying that before we got on the air that, man.
No guy could go through
pregnancy.
No
guy could do this. It's tough. It really is. I'm very really impressed. Can. Yeah. So you are traveling.
I got an app. I don't have an app today. I do. I can get one. I have a website and I have a product. Okay. So last week, my product you didn't like too much since it was Kim Kardashian's.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't even say it's Kim Kardashian's.
I was embarrassed, though.
Why? Really, there's nothing wrong. If you're talking about a selfie, she's the expert.
It was actually a good product. I just was embarrassed that she's the one who endorsed it. Whatever. Anyway, yesterday was National Dog Day.
Yes.
You have a dog, correct?
I do. Ozzy the Wonder Puppy. Yes.
So have you ever heard of this thing called Pet Chats? C-H-A-T-Z.
No.
Okay. So Google that or go to petchats.com.
Because we love our pets, it says.
Yeah. It's an HD two-way audio.
I have one of these. System.
No,
yeah.
You don't.
Yeah, I do. Well, I had one. We sent it back.
So you didn't like it?
Actually, I don't know if I had this one. I had another one like this where ours was one way. You could look and see the dog and talk to him.
Right.
We sent ours back is the dog just ignored it.
Well, the dog or cat can actually press a button and call you no matter where you are in the world.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds like a terrible idea.
I have so many friends who are like, you know, their pets are everything, which I can understand. But and it's not cheap. It's $379. But
well,
I just thought
Skype for pets. Of course, it's not cheap. This is like this is a whole computer.
For them to call you is just it just blows my mind.
So the optional paw call accessory allows them. Oh, and it releases a treat.
or a scent if you want.
What scent? Your scent?
I don't know what the scent is.
Dogs are smell better than I would do the treat, not the scent. That's interesting. Low calorie, nutrient dense, all natural treats, and then the pet chat sense pads can be infused with a special formulated calming scent. Wow.
I just thought it was pretty interesting that a dog or cat could actually call you while you're on the road traveling. Obviously, you could log into your security system and see all the webcams of it, and this allows you to do that too. But for them to call you
I might get this because this is different than when we tried. The one we tried, it was Pet Cube or something like that, and Ozzy just ignored it. We go Ozzy, and he just ignored it. He didn't know.
Okay,
it was like a little because he's not stupid. He hears Ozzy. He knows that's not us, but this may be better. And I love the idea of him being able to call us.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, with National Dog Day yesterday, I just think it's a fitting time.
So a lot of times when I go on vacation, I go on vacation specifically to get away from the dog. But if you're not that kind of person, then maybe you'd like this.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right.
Okay.
So now I have a website for you, too.
Have a dog, do you?
No, I don't. No, obviously. I did growing
maybe,
up. And
maybe you could use this for the little jet.
Yeah, the little man. He'll have Skype.
Teach him how to press the...
Daddy. All right. My website's called True Size, TRUESIZE.
Okay.
So, you know, when you look at a map, you think, first of all, you think Greenland is huge. But this map allows you, it uses a Google map layout, allows you to drag any country. You type in any country in the world, and you can do multiple times.
It's the True Size, THE.
True Size. Yeah, I wonder what True Size is.
This is valuable. No, it's nothing. This is valuable because, you know, you think India is really big, right? But then you drag it on Africa, it's tiny.
Yeah, and grab Greenland and bring it to the U.S.
Yeah,
and
Greenland, whoo, it's big.
And in the upper left-hand corner, you can type in whatever country you want, and then highlight it.
This is awesome. This is awesome.
I know, because you love maps.
Greenland looks big because of the Mercator projection, but then
exactly.
It's not that big. It's only a little tiny portion of the United States. On the other hand, the United States is only a little tiny portion of Africa. I think people don't realize how big Africa is.
For sure.
India, and the U.S., it doesn't fill up all of Africa.
Well, the continental U.S., Australia, and Brazil are about the same size.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And Europe.
This schools should use this.
Yeah.
The map really deceives you.
It sure does.
Because it's a projection. It's the Mercator projection. And so also they think, well, the United States is above Australia. It is not above Australia. Only on a map. You could flip the map up as upside down and be just as accurate. And then Australia would be above the United States. This is great. I love it.
Okay, good.
Really cool.
And, you know, the largest country in terms of landmass by far is Russia. But number two is Canada. But if you drag Canada down to the U.S., it's almost the same size as the continental U.S., not including Alaska, which I thought was pretty
fascinating. Countries at the top of a Mercator projection get a benefit. They are bigger looking.
I never knew that.
Yeah. We think, you know, because to make a globe flat, you've got to take it like an orange and you flatten it. And you either, if you want it to be square and flat, you would kind of distort it. You have to distort
right.
it. Look at that. That's really interesting.
But you know, Canada is, you know, just slightly bigger than the U.S. But they only have 30 million people.
Right.
The U.S. has 300 and, what's it, 20 million now?
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I like this. What a cool toy. It's the right size. I'm sorry.
The true size.
Com. And they, every school should have that. I'm going to show our 13-year-old. I bet you he will be, his mind will be blown, because we all grew up with these Mercator projection maps, and we think Greenland's huge. What's yep. funny is when you take something from the north and you drag it towards the equator.
Down to the equator,
it's
yeah.
smaller. That is fun. TheTrueSize.com.
Right. I'm glad you like it.
I love that one. Give you an idea of where you're going. And
good.
How big it
and
is.
I got a quick tech question for you.
Oh, anything.
So I've been hit with like spam on Twitter. Like the last 4 days, I've had 1,000 followers, and I get a good amount of followers, but these are spam accounts.
Yeah.
And you've been
discovered.
I don't know what
I can do. Congratulations.
No, I don't know if it's that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I already have a good amount of following, but to get 1,000 followers in 3 days and you click them and they're zero, they're just spam accounts.
Yeah. And get ready, because Twitter's kind of overrun with this and they've done nothing. Twitter is the most irresponsible social media company I've ever seen. They are, because they're publicly held and they really want good growth numbers, they ignore this, even though I would say now the vast majority of new accounts on Twitter are spammers. Nothing you can do about it. You should block them, I guess. If you don't
I try, but you can't block over 1,000 people.
Yeah, just ignore them. And understand that Twitter
follows... It makes you look bad.
No, it's not your fault. It doesn't make you look bad. Everybody. Just don't start touting your Twitter numbers. That's what makes you look bad or just ignorant. Because when I say I have 600,000 followers and half of them are spam,
right?
It's meaningless. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hold on. I don't use Twitter anymore. Twitter is horrible. And they do nothing to reduce harassment. They do nothing to eliminate spam. It's horrific. It's a racket. And really the racket is that they want people to think, you know, movie stars make more money if they have a lot of Twitter followers. So they buy followers. Right. You can buy followers if you want.
I mean, I know a lot of people do, but...
It's dumb.
Mine have been all organic, except like this last.
Mine are all organic too, except that.
Yep.
There's a site where you can see how many of your followers approximately are spam. And
oh,
it's,
really?
Let me see if I can find it. There are a couple of them.
Let me go look at the chat room. It's tough for me to look at the chat room during our talking. Can hear the beep going off. Thank you, AppleFan99, for congratulations. Because of high school. Thank you.
Twitter could, by the way, get rid of these. They don't. They have no interest in doing this. Twitter fake account detection. Here it is. TwitterAudit.com.
Twitter audit. Okay.
So generally, 1/3 to 1/2 of people's followers, especially the bigger you get, because then the spammers. And I don't even understand. It's a minimal value to a spammer, right? Because they're hoping you'll follow them. I don't know what they're hoping. It's just terrible.
Right.
So this is the Twitter audit. And I don't know how accurate this is either.
Right.
The real thing to remember is don't tout your... So 70, you have 20,000 fake followers, according to this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's why you should never say, well, look how many followers I have, because you have no idea how many real followers you have. 78% is pretty good. I'm half fake.
Oh.
See, the bigger your account.
Well, you're much bigger than I am, so.
Well, and I have 292,000 real followers.
Yeah, that's...
But I have almost 300,000 fake followers. And that's not that's not because you buy them. I don't even understand.
Right.
It's because I've been using Twitter for a long time. That's one of the reasons. I've been using it since 2007 when it started. Actually, since 2006. I killed my account in 2006, so I can't take credit for going back to the beginning, but I did. I killed it after a while, and then I came back in the spring of 2007 or the summer of it. Anyway, so there's nothing you can do. I've been there for a long time, so of course they're fully fake.
All right. Well, I appreciate your feedback.
Anyway, there's nothing you can do about it. It doesn't reflect on you in any way. Everybody's got spam followers. There's nothing you can...
Yeah, actually, Bruce Murray on Travel was in your thing right now. He actually brought it to my attention as well. And I was like, yeah, I noticed it.
Yeah.
So.
I wish there were something you could do. Nothing you could do.
Yeah. All right.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Dirty little secret of Twitter, except it's not secret, is that most of your followers are spam. Well, the more famous you are, the greater the number. So half of my, according to TwitterAudit.com, and I, you know, they have a methodology which is decent, but isn't guaranteed. It's hard to, you know, you don't know if an account's a spam or not. You can kind of tell based on the content they're posting and whether they have a picture or not. They say half of my followers, half of my Twitter followers, almost 300,000 followers, are fake, not real. That sounded bad until I looked at Katy Perry. 60% of her followers are fake. She only 39% of her followers are real. She has 55 million fake followers. Of course, because she's one of the most followed. Now, I'd be honest with you. I don't understand exactly how spam works on Twitter because you follow who you want to follow, right? You don't follow spam accounts. So you wouldn't see spam. So I don't really understand even why people do this. There must be a percentage or there wouldn't be so many fake accounts on Twitter, but I don't understand it. And what I do understand is Twitter could stop this, but they won't because they need growth numbers to show Wall Street. And frankly, they're not getting them. I just really wonder how long Twitter's going to last, to be honest with you. It's the worst run social network in the world. It's horrible. I've stopped using it. I don't use it. It's a shame because it has a lot. It's very useful. It's very useful. But I don't want to patronize it. I don't want to give it any of my time. So if you're looking for posts from me, they won't be on Twitter. Most of the people now who post on Twitter, frankly, every once in a while I'll go through and I'll read the Twitter feeds. Most of it is not useful anyway. It's self-promotion, right? It's spam in its own right. Read my article. See my TV show. It's spam in its own right. Or it's nonsensical, self-referential bogosity. Like, I just had a ham sandwich. The sad thing is Twitter had a lot of value, has been very valuable in the Arab Spring and, you know, during disasters like Katrina. Twitter is very valuable because you can follow Twitter, see what's going on. But the rest of the time, it's garbage. It's noise. And Twitter, the company, does absolutely nothing to improve the quality of the content there. So I can only think that they're just not long for this world. It just does not. It's a promotion platform. It has some, you know, it is occasionally useful, but so much of what's on Twitter is garbage, just useless garbage. And, you know, I know there are a lot of you going, see, I told you, Leo, told you 10 years ago. That wasn't going anywhere. Yeah. Maybe I need to adjust who I follow, but I don't, you know, I think there are very few people putting valuable content on Twitter. I just really don't think it's that valuable. There are a few people who do. You know, Steve Martin does great stuff, very funny lines on Twitter. There are a few comics, you know. It's good for one-liners, I guess. You know, 140 characters, what are you going to do? Just so poorly run. They do nothing to eliminate spam and worse, harassment, racism, just garbage, hate, just sad. 88, just sad. I think Twitter is, to as much as Twitter has done good in the world, it's done bad. It's a lot of blame on Twitter for the declining quality of internet conversation. 8888 Ask Leo. John in Sherman Oaks, California. Hi, John. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thank you for taking my call. You know, you were talking about wanting things to work. And, you know, as we grow in age, we're losing our patience and so forth. I just reached mine, man, with a horrible experience I just had with AT&T. Are you familiar at all with AT&T NumberSync?
No. What is NumberSync?
Okay, so it lets you use your mobile number on compatible devices. And in my case, it was a Samsung Gear Watch, which AT&T is giving to people who upgrade their phones. And I just upgraded my phone to a Galaxy S7. So they throw in a Gear Watch. And the thing about this watch is that it's a standalone cell phone.
It has. So you'd like it to have the same number as your phone. So if somebody calls your phone and you don't have it, you have your watch, you can answer it.
Right, but the phone itself has its own number. It's separate from the cell phone. What number sync does is that it lets you sync your mobile number to the phone to the watch as well.
So it rings the watch when somebody rings your phone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And in addition to that, you know, you can also ring the other number that the watch has on
right.
the phone.
Right.
So yeah. That's what number sync does. Well, it's supposed to do. The darn thing doesn't work. When I activated it, right off the top, people who were calling me on my regular mobile number, they were getting a message that I wasn't accepting calls. So then, long story shortly, I wasted a whole week of my life with the AT&T people. They ended up changing my watches. They switched my phones. They said, well, we've never had this problem before. I went online and I started researching this, and there's a whole forum, even through their AT&T website, where there's all these people are having all of these issues with number sync. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, why do they continue to sell this if all of these people are having this problem and the darn thing isn't working?
AT&T is, as are all the cell phone companies, basically operates from a monopoly point of view, even if they're not a monopoly. But they, for some reason, act like they're still the big Ma Bell. Actually, AT&T isn't. It's Southwest Bell that just acquired enough stuff to rebrand itself as AT&T. I don't recommend using it. I would use Google Voice. I don't know how long for this world Google Voice is, but at least it's a free service that allows you to have one phone number that can go to up to 5 different devices. There are commercial services like eVoice that'll do the same thing. I'm in a similar situation where I have many. I use different phones every week because I'm reviewing all the smartphones. So I have a Google Voice number, which is the number I give out, and I have that phone number ring all of my devices. So whatever device, including, by the way, because of Hangouts, it works with my iPad, my Android tablets, and so forth. In other words, there are other choices. I don't know why AT&T's service doesn't work as advertised. It ought to.
Right. It's just my point. It's just that they, you know, you watch it on television that they're, you know. I know.
They sell you something and they don't deliver. And welcome to the world. AT&T is not notorious for delivering, are they?
No, I mean, I've been with them for like 15 years.
It drives me crazy. You know, the bigger the company. Look at Comcast, look at AT&T. These companies stomp all over their customers. They do a terrible job. I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know what to say. There are digital startups like Google that seem to do a better job, although I imagine as they get older and bigger and more complacent, they'll start doing junk jobs too. I think that's kind of the nature of the business, right? They're also, remember, giant. AT&T has a lot of customers. One tip from the chat room, it does require that you have HD service enabled on your phone. I presume you do.
Yep.
Okay.
I've got all of that, yeah. I've been with AT&T customer service, then tech, and then high-level tech people, and then Samsung tech people as well, and you know, they tell you, this is the first time we hear of this, but that's baloney.
That's not true. Of course. What are they going to say? Yeah, it's a real problem. We haven't figured that one out. Sorry.
Yeah. That really upsets me because they want to make.
They're lying.
You're the bad guy.
Do you pay for this? Extra for this? Number sync?
Well, so the phone, the watch is free. And you only pay like $10 a month for the wireless connection.
Yeah, you only pay $10, but if they've got 100 million customers, it adds up.
Right. No, I mean, it's great on paper, in theory, how this is supposed to work. I'm a teacher, you know, I don't want to pull out my phone every time I get
it. No, I love the idea.
Can I see it there?
Yeah.
You know, it's just and then I wrote a letter to the, I guess, to the president of customer service or complaints in AT&T about 3 weeks ago, and I haven't heard.
CEO. Now, I don't know if AT&T is, but a lot of companies have an office of the executive that will answer these kinds of consumer issues. And mention you talked about it on a national radio show with Leo. And just do that. His name is Randall Stevenson. He's the CEO of AT&T. Write to him. He won't answer, but he has a team, all CEOs do in most cases, that will. You want to get the executive team responding to you. They're the only people who actually have any brains, I'll be honest. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I don't think they care. I think that's really the problem. We're the phone company. We don't care. We don't have to. Isn't that what Ernestine said? Hey. Hey. Our show today brought to you by a company that is aiming for technically sophisticated people like you. And I'm talking about Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is an amazing solution designed for people who don't want to do the old 19th century loan application process. You know, the one where you fill a banker's box with paper documents and you go in and Bob Cratchit's sitting there with, he's got the green visor and the sleeve garters and a quill pen and goes, yes, you want a loan, eh? Well, let me see your papers. No papers here. Quicken Loans is designed for the internet generation. You don't need to bring in any papers. You don't need to go through files, folders, and dredge up all your old material. You just send them your bank statements and pay stubs with the touch of a mouse or a button. And everything you need can be done online. And in fact, because it's online, because computers, you can get a mortgage in minutes. A custom solution tailored for your unique financial situation. If it's time to refi, this is a very good time to refi, or time to buy, Quicken Loans, the place to go. QuickenLoans.com/techguy for Rocket Mortgage. QuickenLoans.com/techguy, Rocket Mortgage. I mean, it's from Quicken Loans, so you know it's awesome. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. We thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of the Tech Guy Show. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Just go to QuickenLoans.com/techguy. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, virtual reality, headgear, electric vehicles, self-driving cars, and all that. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number, 8888-ASK-LEO. That's 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, so don't hesitate to call. It won't cost you a dime. Won't cost you a penny. And if you do call from outside that area, use Skype or something like that, and it won't cost you anything either. 888-827-5536. All right, I've calmed down. I'm no longer mad at Twitter. No longer mad at AT&T. No longer mad at Comcast. I just threw Comcast in. No longer mad at anybody. Just, you know, I think maybe we're naive. We're innocent. We expect companies to do what they say they're going to do. What is that, nuts? To provide products they advertise for and charge us for as they advertise them. What are we, nuts? They're not going to do that. We need to all learn a little cynicism. Of course they're out to take you for a ride. This is America. I am still mad at Tony Romo. No, you're right, friendly Manitoba. Still mad at him. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm happy. Warren, Haymarket VA. Hello, Warren.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Considering that in the not-too-distant future, there are going to be probably several dozen Chromebooks that will be able to run Android apps on them, I thought that would probably be a great time to buy a Chromebook and start experimenting with Chrome OS.
I am a huge fan.
My situation is one where I could only do that if I were able to connect via Ethernet. And while I know there are many Ethernet adapters out there, yeah, USB 3.0, 2.0, USB-C, I'd just like to get your idea as to, you know, whether or not this is even doable.
It is doable. I don't know if anybody's going to make a Chromebook with an Ethernet plug on it. because you're...
But they do have USB.
Yes, and you could totally use a... I do myself use a USB Ethernet adapter with your Chromebook, and it works great.
Okay. So as long as the adapter is compatible with a Chromebook, that should be the only defining characteristic I'm concerned
about. Yeah, and they may not say that, but all USB adapters are compatible with Chromebooks. Very few don't work.
Okay.
Because it's built into USB drivers that they can handle Ethernet, and all computers will recognize that. I'll give you one that I know works. It's $18 on Amazon. It's the Bob J Gear USB to RJ45 compact fast Ethernet adapter. It even says Chromebooks in the name for Android, for Ultrabooks, Windows, Linux, Mac, Android TV. It works for everything.
Fantastic.
And this is just a standard chipset. This is not some remarkable device. But because it says Chromebooks in the listing, I know it'll work for a Chromebook, but I think anyone would. I have a bunch of them. I can go home and try that. The reason is most laptops don't come with Ethernet, as you know, anymore.
Because people
figure, well, you'll have an adapter. If you really need it, you'll have an adapter. It's just part of the, they don't come with floppies or CDs either. It's just part of the changing world that we live in.
Right.
Do you need it for security reasons, or you don't want to run Wi-Fi, or you're at work, they don't have Wi-Fi or something like that, or?
Just for security reasons.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Ethernet is much more secure.
Yeah, I've always run a wired system, and you don't need to change now.
No, it's also faster, by the way. It's just less convenient because you're tethered.
Exactly right.
And one thing that is true of Chromebooks, and everybody's got to remember this, is they really want an internet connection. If they're not connected, they have limited utility. They have, they do have offline. Almost all the apps that you use on them can work offline, just not as well. They ultimately want to get online.
In doing a little bit of reading on that, I've seen where some people have commented that the first time they tried to connect with the Chromebook, they weren't able to do it with Ethernet. They had to use a wireless connection the very first time. Do you know anything about that?
I don't, and I would have to try this to verify it. I don't think that would be the case. I don't know why that would be the case. So that's new to me. And you know what? Let's ask the audience in our chat room if they've ever experienced that. I can go home and power wash my Chromebook, which brings it back to the factory delivery state, and try it, and I'll come back and get back to you tomorrow on the show. But I would be surprised if that's the case. Okay. If it is, you could go to a Starbucks or something and activate it and then continue
sure.
on. Yeah.
Right. I did have one other question.
Incidentally, I'll get to that. But since you're concerned about security, the really good news about Chromebooks is they're inherently secure. They are much more secure than any other computer you could use.
Right.
Go ahead.
The other question I had, totally unrelated to Chromebooks, is on this new strategy that Microsoft has for their Windows 7 and 8.1 updates that they plan to start this October with the roll-up.
Yeah.
That they're going to do.
Yeah, they're not going to. Yeah, it's a little weird, isn't it?
I tried to drill down into this a little bit to get a little clearer understanding. And in reading Mary Jo Foley's blog, she says in there that the roll-ups are going to include both security and reliability patches.
That's the same thing as a critical patch. There'll be the critical patches. The concern is that you can't atomize them. You can't say, well, I don't want that one. I don't want that one. You have to take them all.
Understand. But in the very last paragraph of her article, she says Windows will release a single security-only update. This update will include only new security patches for each month, and individual patches will no longer be available.
Right.
The security update will be available from the Windows Server Update Services, the System Center Configuration Manager, and the Microsoft Update Catalog,
not Windows Update. Now, the way I'm reading that, I interpret that to mean that if you opted not to go with this roll-up that's coming down through Windows Update and wanted only the security patches, you could go to, for example, Microsoft Update Catalog and download only the security update from there. Is that correct?
That I don't know. I mean, Mary Jo is very good at these things. You know, she's one of our co-hosts on our Windows show, Windows Weekly, every Wednesday on the network, on Twit, my podcast network. So if she's, I would, are you, if you're trying to read behind, between the lines, I don't know. But I absolutely would agree that anything she says is accurate. She's really good on this stuff.
Okay.
I understand. So let me get your concern. Your concern is you don't want to be foisted. You don't want changes to the operating system foisted upon you. You want all the security updates, but you don't want, you know, random updates that change things you don't want to change. Is that kind of what you're concerned about?
Random updates that could potentially
crash your system. Yes. 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 I completely concur. Oh, Microsoft, you wild and crazy guys. I don't know what to say. It sounds like maybe
could you run that one by Mary Jo?
I will. I read the article you read. It was to make it a little easier for people having to deal with this. The problem is Microsoft themselves aren't very clear on this. So she's reading between the lines as much as we are.
Okay.
So okay. I will ask her on Wednesday. I will. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'll get back to you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Richard in L.A. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Leo. Congratulations on your new studio.
Thank you.
One aside, I just happened to watch a documentary last night about a woman named Ada Lovelace. Do you know the name?
Yeah, the Countess of Lovelace, Ada Lovelace. She was the first programmer back in the 18th century. She worked on a wooden computer built by Charles Babbage. And in fact, she was honored in the last century, she was honored by the Department of Defense, who named their highly secure programming language after her. It's called ADA.
Well, she was something else.
Was she married to Lord Byron, or she was his sister? What was the story?
Daughter.
Lord Byron's daughter. Okay.
Yeah. And she died at the same age he did, strangely enough.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. My question, please.
Yes.
I have an LG Leon, 500, T500.
Okay.
And I need space. And I've gone through the process of clearing cache, eliminating some of the apps that I've loaded, but I still am low on space. Any suggestions?
How much RAM, or not RAM, how much storage did that phone?
I think it's only 4, but I'm not sure.
Oh, God. Well, there's your problem right there. I mean, that Leon is sold as an inexpensive phone, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not a top of the line Android phone by any regards. But 4 gigs of storage on an Android phone is, to say the least, pathetic. Actually, it says it has 8. I'm looking at specs right now. It says it, but wait, sorry. For free. So you remember, you've got to put the operating system on there. So there's 3.7 gigs. Is the maximum user storage. However, you can add a micro SD card to that. Have you done that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
But you once said that putting stuff on the SD card doesn't really free space.
Oh, it does. Oh, no.
It does.
The trick is what you put on there. For instance, depending on your version of Android, and I'm guessing you're on a fairly old version of Android at this point. Is it 5?
Yeah,
Android 5?
No, I think it's even 4.7.
Okay. So more modern versions of Android will let you put applications on those, but you lose some capabilities. For instance, they can't do widgets if they're on the SD card. So generally what I do with the SD card is I put all my media on it. That's the fattest stuff anyway. Pictures should be, you know, their camera should automatically be set to store pictures on the SD card. Music, any video, audio, or pictures should be stored on the SD card, either automatically or manually by you moving them over there. That won't hurt anything.
I've gone through my entire list of applications and moved everything that could be to the SD card.
See, that's the problem is you have such scant storage. I'm not surprised. I mean, that's what you get when you buy a budget Android phone. You don't get much.
I won't bore you with why I got it because it was frustrating to begin with. But it is, one thing I can say about it, it's a very fast phone.
Well, that's good.
Things much faster on it.
Yeah, and I think if you got, you know, the problem is you're going to spend a lot more for a more modern Android phone, and you'll get a lot of benefits, including a lot more storage. But it might be, you know, beyond your means, in which case you're just stuck on. You've moved all the applications you can. You've moved all the data over.
Should be moved.
Yeah,
I do it about once a week to make sure.
Yeah, not much you can do.
Everything on the SD card that I could put on it.
It's 3.7 gigs of storage, of user storage. That's not a lot.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, just delete any apps. I would delete, you know, you can sort the apps by how much they take up and maybe delete the big apps that you don't need.
Right.
That's all I can.
And does clearing the cache make a difference?
Not really. It'll do that automatically as it runs low, so it shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't, I mean, you'll show more free maybe, but right. It would do that anyway, so.
Now, if I run it the way it is, and it looks like I'm stuck, do I do any harm when it keeps telling me I have low space?
No, but it may get less reliable.
Right.
If it gets low space, you can't put anything new on there, and you may find that it's, you know, crashes because it runs out of storage or runs out of space.
I've noticed that I try to download a couple of apps, and they wouldn't take.
Yes.
Not enough storage space.
That's what'll happen. Yeah. You'd like to keep, as you know, a 500 megs free if you could, half a gig free if you could, but you probably can't with that. You just don't have.
No.
That phone is designed for people who don't install apps.
I can see that. If you have about three apps, you're probably hitting.
Yeah, most people don't install apps. They just, you know, they use what's on the phone, and for them that makes sense. But if once you start getting to be more of a power user, which obviously you are, then it's time maybe to look at a phone that's you can get. There are budget phones like the Moto G that have more storage. There are less expensive phones. I wouldn't spend more. You can spend up to $400, say, for a OnePlus 3 or the Axon 7, which is an excellent phone. But that's a lot of money compared to what you paid for the LG Leon. Well, I like the name.
I thought you might.
What happens is all of these companies offer these very low-cost, low-feature phones as entry points for the carriers. The carriers want to be able to say this phone won't cost you anything, $0. But generally, those are the
phone is the Mazda dealer said I could use it to send text messages and in my car, and it's untrue.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only reason I bought it. I have another phone which has much better storage space. But it's not as fast.
I
kind of like this one.
You probably need a later version of Android to pair with the car capability in your Mazda.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Leo.
Sure. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad tidings. But that's not your main phone, so there you go. You understand what you got. You got a cheap phone. In many cases, a free phone. Phone number 8888-ASK. Leo, another half hour to go in the show. I'd love to hear from you. Website, don't forget, techguylabs.com. That's important. That's the place to go when you want to, find out what I said. TechGuyLabs.com. It's free. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. What Leo just say? Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Susan in Los Angeles. Hi, Susan.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Congrats on your new studio. Beautiful.
Thank you. It looks exactly like the old one.
That was beautiful, too.
That was the goal. If you come visit, and we do have an open studio, people are invited to come by, you'll see it does look different than the old place. But we've met, you know, when you're – the nice thing about video, we do streaming video of the show. That's why Susan knows. You can constrain the picture to just a certain area. And so in this area, it looks exactly the same. If you go outside and you looked around, you go, wow, that's different. But like the air conditioning works. Wow!
That's a good feature.
Yay! What can I do for you, Susan?
Hey, I wanted to talk to you about a good problem to have.
Okay.
My husband and I like to cruise a lot. And as an avid cruiser yourself, I think you know that your days are pretty busy. So we like to do a blog every night.
Oh, great.
And do our pictures and whatnot. But we have I guess it's WordPress blog, but, you know, the internet connection isn't that great on the ships.
Right.
And we were hoping that maybe you had a good recommendation for an offline blogger that we could use that we could then upload when we do get to
Yes, I do. And
internet.
It will work with your blog.
Excellent.
So, first of all, love cruising. And while I wish I were as disciplined as you and your husband, my wife does that. She'll get all the pictures of the day and she'll post them on her blogger at the end of the day. And I just don't have that discipline.
Otherwise, you forget.
You don't get around to it. Yeah. I have pictures from the last four trips that I've never done anything with, and I wish I had.
Yeah.
So it's a good discipline. So your blogger, I'm sorry, your WordPress has an email address. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Look in the settings. There's an email address. So what you can do is email your posts. So that means you can write them offline. And put pictures in it, all the stuff that you would normally do. It's a little different because the subject line, you know, you should practice before you go to see what happens with the email. The subject means something, the address means something, all of that. But if you practice with it, you'll see that you can, in fact, do a full post. And that's a perfect way to do offline because you do an email, and your email is by nature offline because it won't send, as you probably know, it won't send until it has a decent connection.
Right.
There are, if you use, are you Mac or Windows?
Windows.
There are really good offline blogging utilities for WordPress on both Mac and Windows. So there are specific programs. In fact, Microsoft used to make a great one called, what's it called? I can't remember what it was called, BlogWriter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That really was just fantastic. And then they discontinued. It was part of their kind of their freebies program. But there are a lot of other choices out there. I'll give you a few names and you can, you know, try them or decide which one you like the idea of. Windows Live Writer from Microsoft was the one I loved. If you could find it, that's the one I would do. I loved it. And it was free.
Okay.
It was part of their live apps. And I, you know, I wonder if I should check because they may still offer that. Yeah, no, they don't. I think that they kind of killed that, which is kind of a sad thing. There's a program called BlogJet. It's just like a word processor, but you do the whole blog post, and as you say, you get to Croatia and you get off and you get in an internet cafe and you can blog desk, rocket post. And then on the Mac, I use Mars Edit, which I love. So there's some really good choices. In some ways, I prefer these even when I'm online because they give me a lot of nice tools that I can use. And I can really work on the post and then post it all at once. And even WordPress has an app now. So you might look at I think emailing is kind of ideal. I used it in China because I couldn't even guarantee I'd be able to post to a blog in China, but they didn't block email. But there is a WordPress. Are you on WordPress.com or are you self-hosted?
I think we're self-hosted. That's the problem.
Yeah. So you get the Jetpack plugin, and there are ways to do this. WordPress.com has its own app, but it only is only for WordPress.com.
Right. Okay.
But those other ones I talked about are for self-hosted blogs as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you for the suggestions.
Yeah. Where are you going next?
We might even be going the same region you're going to. We're going to be starting out in Stockholm end of next month.
Baltic
and then going,
cruise.
Yep.
Yeah.
On Regent. So we're.
Wait a minute. You're on our cruise.
Oh, really?
When's your cruise leave?
The 20th of September, I think.
Yeah, you're on our cruise.
Oh, that's funny.
Susan, look for me. Lisa and I will be on that cruise.
Oh, that's
Yeah, it's on the Voyager, on the Regent Seven Seas Voyager. We're starting in Stockholm. We're ending in Southampton.
Same cruise. That's funny.
Small world.
It is.
Have you ever done Regent before?
We haven't. It's our first time on Regent. We've done other cruise lines, so we're excited to try
us too. I like small cruise lines, and we're looking. We tried Seabourn, which we loved, but we're trying to find. You know why? Because I have this fantasy when I retire, which is getting sooner and sooner, of going on a round-the-world cruise. The problem is it's a three-month commitment. And so I want to find the perfect cruise line for that. So,
well, we'll look for you on board, and we'll share with you our other cruise information.
Great.
And we can compare notes.
Yeah, we compare notes. What's your husband's name?
Adam.
I look for Susan and Adam. We'll be on the same. Isn't that amazing?
That's funny.
Small world. Look for Leo and Lisa.
We will.
Thanks, awesome. Thanks, Susan. And we'll blog together.
Yes, we will. Great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Wow. That is a coincidence, isn't it? Doug in Long Island, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Doug.
Hi, good afternoon, Leo. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good, good. Congratulations on the move. Everything looks wonderful. It's really been flawless, I feel.
I have the best team. It's a small team. We're a podcast network as well as this radio show. It's about 20 people. And the engineering staff is on a handful, it's four or five people. And this was a miracle. They are wonderful. And I thank everybody, both here and at Premier Networks, because they helped us coordinate the hookup to the radio network. And it just went, I expected all sorts of drama.
Yeah.
There's one little thing.
What's that?
My office door locks behind me and doesn't have any way of turning that off. And if at some point we come back from an ad and there's nobody here, just call the front office and tell them to let Leo in.
That's great.
I got locked out. That's my only fear.
That's funny.
What can I do for you today?
Well, I have a question that's really something that it's a pet peeve. It's I'm on my home. I'm sorry. I'm on a OS device, an iPhone 6.
Okay. Yep.
And I'm running 9.3.5.
Yep. The newest version.
That's correct. And when I tap my home button, now not pressing it, but just tapping it twice.
Yeah.
The whole screen drops.
Yes, that's supposed to happen. Nobody knows about this feature. That's so you can use it one-handed, because the iPhone 6 is so huge that it isn't that big. It's, compared to other phones, it's small. But it's bigger than previous iPhones, and Apple was afraid that people would go, I can't use it with one hand. So they have this feature that slides everything down so you can reach it.
Oh, I see. So you can reach the top icon.
It's supposed to happen. Now, you can turn that off, by the way. I turn it off because I don't like it.
Okay.
And because I don't mind. I can reach. Thank you.
Sure.
But it's the Donald Trump phone. It's made for people with small hands. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Ow! Burn!
No, I'm from New York, so you can't say stuff like that. Speaking of New York, when are you coming? Why don't you go meet and greet us?
We were out there. We did a rattle and hum a couple of months ago. I got to come back. I love New York.
And we love you too, I tell you.
Thank you, Doug. It's great to talk to you. Yeah, that's supposed to happen. And I can't remember how you turn it off, but you can. Look in the settings. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I have to put a coin in the I Just Talk Politics jar. We'll have more of the Tech Guy Show in just a minute, but first I want to tell you about cooking. I have the best intentions. I really do. Every Sunday, Lisa and I, we say we're going to sit down, we're going to make a meal plan, a menu plan, and make the shopping list, and we're going to buy, and we're going to cook. We want to eat at home. We want to eat at home because eating out, not so good for you. It's expensive, and. And then Ray Donovan comes on, and by the time that's over, we're asleep. And then the whole of good intentions out the window. You've had this happen, right? Or, you're at work. You've been working all day. The last thing you want to do, go to the grocery store, figure out what you're going to make, so you all end up at Applebee's. That is not good. That is why you need Blue Apron. Blue Apron is awesome. I don't have to plan my meals. I just go to the Blue Apron site, pick something on the menu. I get three meals a week. You can either do the two-person plan or the family plan, which has kid-friendly ingredients. And by the way, the whole family can cook together. That's so much fun. So let's see. This week I'm going to do, that looks good, porchetta-style sandwiches with baby kale pesto and marinated cucumber salad. But you know what? Oh, wait a minute. Chicken and fresh basil fettuccine with creamy tomato sauce. Oh, my mom would love that. This is good. I'm doing that because Lisa loves salmon. Seared salmon and sauce grabiche with mashed potatoes, summer beans, and cherry tomatoes. That's a good one. I'm going to pick that one. Now, by the way, you will get in the – this is less expensive than if you were eating out, obviously, and even than if you were shopping it for it. The shopping at the grocery store is, on average, 60% more expensive than Blue Apron because they don't need clerks. They don't need brick and mortar. They don't need any of that stuff. And you're going to learn how to cook, how to – you know, this is like they have these technique. Hey, this is a video on how to quickly have cherry tomatoes. Oh, man. Oh, what? No. No. Oh, brilliant. Oh, did you see what he just did? Oh, if you're listening, you probably didn't. But you're just going to have to go to blueapron.com and find out. That is awesome. That is brilliant. And in the box, you get exactly what you need to make this amazing salmon fillets. You need one egg. You get one egg. You don't get half a dozen. There's no waste, no muss, no fuss. 3 ounces of cherry tomatoes, 3 ounces of summer beans, 1 clove of garlic. Again, no waste. You don't have stuff in the fridge just getting old, waiting, sad, waiting for you to cook. They're reducing food waste. You know, their mission statement at Blue Apron is really awesome. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone while supporting a more sustainable food system, selling the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Isn't that good? I love all of that stuff. All the food comes from their community of local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. Seafood sourced sustainably. Beef raised humanely. The chickens are all free range. The pork raised naturally. They use regenerative farming practices to make the produce. All in all, this is exactly what you would want for your family, for your loved ones. And man, it's just a great feeling. The house smells so good. Summer vegetable and queso tostada. I want to make these right now. The fairy tale eggplants. I don't even know what those are. You're going to learn about ingredients you've never used before. Aren't those cute? And then the next time you go shopping, you go, you know, I like those fairy tale eggplants. I got to do that one again. We know how exciting this is, but we also know there's a little natural resistance to anything new, so we've set up 3 meals free for you. Now, how could that be easier? Go to blueapron.com/twit. Your first 3 meals are totally free, and that includes shipping. I don't want to disappoint anybody, so you should know that they ship to the continental U.S. only, 99% of the continental U.S. So I'm sorry to our Alaska and Hawaiian listeners. No Blue Apron for you, but you got to. But if you are in the continental U.S., you got to try it. 3 meals free. BlueApron.com/twit. Check it out. BlueApron.com/twit. It is awesome. And we thank them so much for supporting the Tech Guy Show. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Time to talk to the Gizwiz, Dick D. Bartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. And a major gadget hound. He joins us each and every week to talk about a gadget or a gizmo. Hello there.
I do indeed. Yeah. I do indeed. Now, I bought 3 of these. These are probably too small for you. I buy little monitors, little 7-inch monitors. And I have one in the kitchen.
What do you do with them?
You know what, Leo? I mostly monitor what movies are on TCM.
Oh, so you can go run and watch it on the big TV.
I can go run and either watch it or quick hit record. And so what's neat about them, Leo, is they're 7 inches. And I see from Amazon, lots of people are buying them who are using Raspberry Pi, buying them as monitors.
Oh.
And what's neat about them is that, first of all, they're under $60. They have VGA in. They have HDMI out. They have 2 audio-video connections. They can run off AC. They can run off 12 volts. So if you want to put one in your car and have a front and rear camera, they're set up for that. They're HD, not great HD. They're 1024 by 600. And they make them down to 3.5 inches for about $30.
Wow. Wow.
I know. The company's called Sun Founder. What would you
do? 3.5 inches is a little small.
I assume that if kids are building little projects,
I think that's what it's for. Yeah.
They would want a tiny little TV.
Yeah.
Even though a 7-inch monitor is small, it's small enough as a little thing. I keep it under my big monitor if I want to see what another channel is doing. Since I live in an apartment building, I don't have a Ring doorbell, but I have a camera that's out my window, and then I have another 7-inch monitor so I can see when UPS comes.
We have – wow, then, you're really wired. Wow.
Yeah, I'm wired, man. I am so wired.
That's quite impressive. Yeah.
I can't turn the lights on, though. There's something wrong with this.
That's kind of the way it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
This is Sun Founder's a neat site. It's a site for builders and makers with lots of electronics stuff.
Yeah, you can start at Amazon, and then if you're building kits, Amazon has another link to the Sun Founder website, and then Sun Founder tells you all the various ways to use their monitors with Raspberry Pi.
We have
and all
a crazy kits. Idea, and I think we're going to do this. Yes. The new studio's offices have a very, very long hall from the front door all the way to the back. It's like a rail. They used to call them railway apartments, which like
railway.
So I wanted
putting in track.
That actually is a great idea, and Lisa I think wants a little like a cat track that the cats can walk around, but not what I'm thinking. Somebody suggested, I love this idea, of putting a timeline of the company all down the wall like a museum and have little monitors with pictures of the staff and, you know, shows and stuff going all the way down. So you just see the history of the network, which would be kind of cool.
Oh, I think that'd be great.
Yeah. And we have
I think Gizwiz was 3 or 4. Of your show.
You would be a big part of it.
I have a 3.5-inch monitor, or would I have a 7-inch?
Well, that's a good question. You know what they say, there are no small monitors, only small actors. Okay. Do they say that?
Okay. No, they don't, but they will now.
You'll find Dick at the website gizwiz.biz. It is a great site for gadget hounds of all stripes. You'll find all the gadgets he mentions on our show. If you click the link, the Gizwiz visits the tech guy. And I know a lot of people listen and say, where do I get that? What is that? Hell, tell me about it. Well, you got the links there, gizwiz.biz. You'll also find the What the Heck Is That contest. Chance to win it
on. Which is ending soon.
Oh, end of the month.
End
of August. So you got a few more days to figure out what's obviously a Barbie street sign. But if you don't know, it's okay because there's 12 autographed copies of Mad Magazine for the right answer, 24 for the wrong answer. Dick's judgment is final. So figure out what that is and get it in to Dick. All the rules are at gizwiz.biz. Don't forget the Gizwiz podcast at gizwiz.tv. Dick does a great job with Chad Johnson each and every week with fun and gadgets and a good time. And we'll see you later this afternoon on the podcast network for the Giz Fizz.
Giz Fizz PM later on. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dickie D. Hello, Dennis, San Diego, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Congrats on your new digs there.
Thank you.
It seems like just a short time ago you moved to Petaluma, but
5 years. Well, we were in Petaluma for the whole time, but 5 years ago we moved to the Brick House, and then they sold the building out from under us. They're turning it into a brewery, but we found a very nice place, half the rent. It's all worked out great. Yeah.
Wow.
Moving's no fun. Don't recommend that to anybody, but we got a 10-year lease, so we don't have to do this again for a while.
Cool. Let's see. The reason I'm calling is 3 months ago, I bought a new Adell XDS 9500.
Okay.
And it was going to be that or the Surface, but I chose the Dell.
I love the Dell XPS laptops. I think that's a very good choice. And I have both, by the way.
Okay. Well, so 2 weeks ago, I ran into a problem where the sound, every so often when I turned it on, the sound disappeared.
Hmm.
And also some videos, like YouTube, they wouldn't play the video.
Okay.
So I called the help desk in India, and they said it sounds like the sound card. You know, I checked.
No. It sounds like software. It does not sound like the sound card. I mean, it could be the sound card.
Well, yeah. And
that's not where I would go right away. I'd start with software.
Yeah, well, in line with that, I did all the drivers. I made sure all the drivers were updated and, you know, went through all the rigmarole. And then back and forth, I must have spoke to like 6 or 7 different techs at Dell, and they tried all their, everything in their toolbox.
You're getting low-level techs. Dell, the biggest, saddest thing about Dell is they got rid of their world-famous support out of Round Rock, Texas. And that's how they get the prices low.
Yeah, it was a very scripted type.
It's terrible. They don't know what they're doing. And they don't even have any leeway to give you good suggestions. The guys in Round Rock were experts. These guys are following a script.
Yeah, they are. And I still have an ongoing issue. But let me cut to the chase here. So I noticed when I was they couldn't fix the problem. They just said reload your operating system. So here I had, you know.
By the way, that's the answer if it's software, not hardware. So they're giving you conflict. But by the way, that's also what I would say. Before you decide anything, you should figure out if it's the software or the hardware. You don't have to reload your operating system. Just boot to a Linux distribution or something that you can run off of a USB key and see if the sound and video work there. And if they do, then it's not hardware. It's software. If it's hardware, then it's fortunately under warranty and they have to fix it. And then that means you have to follow their arcane process, including reinstalling Windows, before they'll give you an RMA. That's the way it is these days. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security and Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time. Yeah, I'm sorry. We ran out of time, as you can tell. I'm still here, Dennis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we ran out of time, so I had to wrap the show up, but I'm still talking to you. Yeah.
Oh, great, great, great. I'm so happy. What I did with... I wish I would have known. I spoke to you earlier, but anyhow, I went through such hell with the Dell techs, so I reloaded the system. Everything works fine.
Let's do it tomorrow.
In so doing, I noticed that it was so easy because I back up with a hard drive. I back up with Carbonite, and I noticed I had one drive, and they have, I guess, free. So many gigs in one drive.
Yeah, so that makes it easy to reinstall Windows.
So, yeah, it was easy, relatively easy. And I noticed that, so I was being very selective about what files I was transferring in. I was doing it from my hard drive where I was backed up to. And I noticed that in my mail, I use Outlook, and I use Microsoft Office. And I noticed everything as far as my mail from Microsoft Outlook, as well as my Gmail, I didn't have to load any of my mail. It was not like saving PST files, and it was kind of done automatically from the cloud.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if I need to back up PST files, if they're already up there somewhere.
Well, what's happened now... it depends on who's doing your mail providing, but mail providers have moved from the old-fashioned way of doing it called POP, or Post Office Protocol, to a more modern way called IMAP. And if you're using a web-based email, all of them are IMAP or IMAP-like. So if you're using, who are you using for your mail provider? Who's your server person?
Outlook, Microsoft Outlook.
So using Outlook.com?
No, I have the disk, the Microsoft Office Suite 2016.
Yeah, but who do you log into? Is it your ISP? Who is providing the mail server? Is it your business? Is it?
No, it's a personal account. I have Time Warner Cable.
Okay, so it's coming from Time Warner.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. So they're using a more modern system where they don't delete your mail when you get it.
Time Warner is?
Yeah. Everybody does. Nobody does POP anymore, except the most smallest primitive systems. Time Warner is probably using Yahoo or some other commercial service for email.
So what if I had my computer and I plugged in somewhere else where that wasn't Time Warner? Would I be able
to? Yeah, you'd get all your mail. You'd log in. You'd have to set up your email with the Time Warner login, and all your mail would be there because they're saving it on the server. They're not. In the old days with POP, you would download the mail and then it would erase on the server. So you would have the only copy. Almost all email systems now keep all the email.
And okay, so it doesn't seem to be that important then to back up the PST. Is that correct?
That's correct unless you're doing client-side processing. In other words, if you have filters you run in Outlook to sort the mail, spam protection in Outlook, none of that is going to be preserved on the server. Most of that won't be.
Right.
Actually, some of it might be. Depends on how it's configured.
Right.
So that's stuff you might want to back up. But yes, you're right. No, the other thing that's in your PST files, though, is your contact list and your calendar. That's not being preserved.
Yeah, but that's on my phone, too. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, you're syncing it. I mean, yeah, I would still... You know, and you're backing it up, back up all your data, including your PSD files, in my opinion.
Okay, well...
It's just one more copy.
Okay, so now I'm thinking about going over to OneDrive as far as backing up goes, because
okay.
It seems to me that it's really... easy to use, and it's fast, and it sits everywhere, and fits my lifestyle type of thing. But I don't see where you can back up PST. See, that was one of the selling points, or one of the pros and cons that I was weighing on whether or not I would go, because I've been using Carbonite for years and years now.
Yeah.
And
the way Carbonite works is they by default back up stuff like that. They don't back up movies and photos. You have to tell it to. You can back up your Outlook PST files to OneDrive. You just have to tell it to explicitly.
Right. Okay. Well, that's what I needed a little help with. I know it costs a little bit more, but they also offer the Microsoft Office.
A lot of times, if you're all in on Microsoft, it sounds like you are, it makes sense to be all Microsoft. Because in general, everything will work better together.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
So the only trick on the PST thing, and then I'd be very careful, back it up to OneDrive. Don't sync it to OneDrive. You know what I mean? You don't want to be using OneDrive for your PST file. You want to have it to be a copy of.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Well, yeah.
Do you understand the distinction?
I understand.
OneDrive can be used to collaborate on files, but that's something you don't want to do with your PST files. You want to have them stored locally and a copy backed up periodically.
Okay, I'll just have to look at the instructions on when I'm doing it.
And you can even Google backup PST files OneDrive, and they'll have instructions.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, listen, my wife and I went on that cruise, that Regent.
You have.
We were in the same boat. It was fantastic.
I can't wait.
It was, and you know, we had a nice cabin. And one of the features that you don't hear about is they have, it was almost like having your own private.
We got a butler.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know I paid for it.
Yeah. Only this suite is suite level, but yeah. No, Lisa said, I'm not going if there's not a butler. You know why? She wants somebody to bring her coffee in the morning. And, well, and while I will do that, I'm not consistent.
They'll bring you more than coffee. They'll bring you They'll bring you wine. They'll bring you anything. They'll bring anything.
I know. We got the same cabin. We got a nice cabin. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Cool,
I'm excited.
Well, you'll enjoy it.
I can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun, Dennis. Too bad you're not on that cruise. I could help you with this whole Outlook thing.
Great.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Leo.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.